called Undercover, The Promise of Protection Under God's Authority. And our text for this series is, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And then Romans 13 and 1 and verse 2 as well, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Or in the New Living Translation, it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. That's pretty clear. Amen. But we have been talking over the last several weeks. I believe this is our fifth lesson, and we're going to be finishing this up at the end of February, so we have two more Sundays, and we're going to finish this up. This is on a book called Undercover. If you have not received the book or purchased the book, I suggest that you do. It's a powerful, powerful book. It's written by John Bevere. He's the same man that wrote the series that we did. It's a book that we did a series on called The Bait of Satan. And just very insightful. And I know you will enjoy reading it. But we have talked about the power and protection of God's authority, and that God is a God of order. He has set in our lives a system of authority that flows down from Him. And if we will stay in that line of authority, that there is a protection and there is a power and there is an authority that comes with that. And our flesh is not naturally disposed to submission. It is not part of our nature. Our nature is to be willful, right? When you have a child and you are starting to train that child, it does not take them long to push against the control that you want to have on them. And that's why we have a system of teaching, of punishment, that if they do not do what you say, right? Because you're training them. And I'm thankful for good parents that know how to say no. Amen? No is a wonderful tool if you use it properly. And then also, not only do they know how to use the word no, but they know how to back that up. And they know how to enforce that into their children's lives. And good parents will do that in a loving way, but they will do it in a consistent way. We're not called to be our teenager's best friend. Amen. We're called to be their parents. And so there is a process of learning. And thankfully, if you will be consistent enough in the early years, then the later years will fall into place. You won't have to worry about your children near as much. But by the time your son gets old enough to look you in the eye, or your daughter gets up in her teenage years, if you have not instituted this system of control, this system of training and teaching, then it's probably too late. In fact, life will probably have to teach them that. So, but we live in a world that is opposed to authority. In fact, the way that our culture talks about and treats the law enforcement officers in our world today. And I know sometimes we joke about them, and we don't want to get tickets, right? We don't want to get caught speeding, all these sort of things. But at the same time, we have to imagine, what would life be without these men and women that protect us? And so we should respect them. We should give them the respect that their office brings upon them, because they protect us. They serve us, but we also have to submit to their authority in certain situations. And we need to train our children to do that. We need to train our children to respect teachers. Right? We need to teach them to respect people in authority. And, you know, it in life, their people are not perfect, right? And so there are teachers that are going to be unjust, that are going to make mistakes. There's some teachers that are nicer than others. There's some people in authority that abuse that authority. And that's just a natural process of life. But as a parent, especially when we're training our children, we need to be careful not to undermine the authority in their life. There was times that in my children's lives that I disagreed with the way their teacher or the authority in their life dealt with them. But I did my best not to let them know that I disagree with it. You know, when my children came to me and they complained about the punishment they were receiving or the thing that they were having to do in school, you know, they would say, well, I didn't do that. I'm innocent. You know, sure, we're all innocent, right? But my response would be, well, you probably got away with something else that they didn't catch you for, so you just, you know, deal with it. It'll be fine, right? You teach your children to respect authority. And if you need to, if it's unjust, if something's really going on, then you go around behind them without them knowing and you have a meeting. You know, you have a come to Jesus meeting with the authority figure and you talk to them and you let them know that you're not pleased, but you deal with it in a private way so that you don't undermine the authority of that person in your child's life. And that also relates to church. Right? God has placed pastors in our life. And I know this sounds self-serving because I'm the pastor, but I'm called and I have the responsibility to teach you what is good for you and your family according to the Word of God. And so at the same time, we need to not undermine spiritual authority in our children's lives. I've said it very often that you know, I can't tell you how to make your children live for God. I can't tell you that. But I can give you some ways that you can pretty much ensure that they will not live for God. Okay? First of all, don't be faithful to church. Show them that church is not a priority. That's a good way. Second of all, tear down the church whenever you get time, you know, anything you don't like, make sure you voice it in front of your children. And then especially tear down the authority of the pastor in their lives, because you can't be saved without preaching, right? It's what the Word of God says. We have to have preaching. We have to have teaching. We have to have instruction. And so if you destroy the church, if you show that church is not a priority, if you tear down the authority of the church, the pastor, the teaching of the pastor, the direction of the pastor, the guidelines that are in place in the church, if you minimize those things, then why would your young person, why would your children grow up to respect those things? Amen. I was raised in a home where my parents said, you know, if I complained about something, like if I complained about a teacher, they said, well, that's your teacher. You got to do what they say. If I complained about something was going on in the church, they say, hey, whoa, don't talk about the church. Don't talk about the pastor. He's our pastor. We're going to, as long as he's in the Word, we're going to stay with him. Amen. We're not going to, if he says it, we're going to do it, right? Okay. Just a simple example. When I was growing up, I got to be a senior in high school. And my parents allowed us to get a senior ring, you know, a senior ring, a class ring, whatever. And I wore it to church one time, and my pastor met me about right here. Wasn't this building, of course, but it was about right here in the altar. And he looked at me and he said, hey, I would really rather you not wear that. And I said, yes, sir. And I went home and I took it off. My parents asked me, well, why'd you take that off? I said, well, pastor asked me not to wear it. And I said, well, good, don't wear it. And so I didn't wear it. In fact, I don't even know where it is now. It's disappeared. I put it in a drawer somewhere. It's probably in a box somewhere. Huh? We got rid of all the gold stuff. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, wherever it is, it's melted down somewhere probably now. It wasn't worth much anyway. Praise God. But I just was taught that if my pastor said it, I did it. I told this story. I was kind of liking this little girl that was showing up at church. She really wasn't in church. She was just coming to visit and went out with everybody after church with her. And my pastor knew that I felt a call to preach. I was going to go to Bible college. And so he called me in and he said, hey, I'd really rather you not date that young lady until she gets in church and she's doing right. I just don't, it doesn't look good. And I said, yes, sir. And I walked out of the office, and I wasn't happy about it. I will promise you that. I wasn't happy about that. But I walked out of his office. I went straight to her. I said, hey, I got to cancel our date. We're not going out. We can be friends. And I never looked back. Amen. Now, that sounds extreme. That sounds crazy. But you know what? There is a blessing. There's a blessing that comes with obedience. There's a blessing that comes with submission. And it only comes when we align ourselves with biblical principles. And so, parents, you don't have to always agree with everything. But be careful how you deal with those things you disagree with in front of your children, because you want your children to be able to be pastored. Amen. 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 I want my children to know that if I'm their pastor, if they go somewhere else and they're working in the kingdom and they're working under some other pastor, I want them to be able to submit themselves and agree and to be a part of the authority of that church wherever they go. And so I want to teach them that it's important, that our culture says that church is not important. It's just a sideline. It's just something you do, okay? Our culture says a pastor has no authority in my life. That's what the flesh wants. Now, at the same time, I preface that all the way through this lesson, that I am not the Lord over God's inheritance. I don't care where you go on vacation. I don't care what kind of car you buy. I don't care what kind of house you buy. You don't have to ask me those things. There's some people out there that want to control people. That's not your pastor, and that's not a real pastor. That's a control freak. Amen. I may be a control freak about how the chairs are set up, how the pictures are on the wall, but I don't want to control people. I've got plenty of stuff to do. I don't need to be making other people's decisions for them. So that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when it comes to biblical advice and things that we need direction in our life. It doesn't mean that we just march blindly to a beat that we don't understand. But as long as a pastor is in the Word of God, we need to submit to that authority in our lives, because there is a blessing that comes with that that cannot come any other way. Amen. Praise God. And I'm thankful to tell you that I have lived a life of submission, and I still do. I have a pastor, and I have a district superintendent, and I have a presbyter that are very much available in my life, and I have given them the access into my life that if they see something, hear something, whatever they need to tell me, I'm ready to hear it, and I'm ready to receive it with a spirit of humility and submission. Amen. We were at General Conference, and I saw Brother Flowers across the way. And, you know, our district's fairly new, and so he hasn't been our district superintendent very long. But we had a beautiful time of prayer at the end of one of the services, and I looked over and I saw him. He was about halfway across that big room where the general conference was going on, and so I made my way over there, and he was standing in the aisle, and we were still just kind of in the altar time, and I hugged him, and I said into his ear, I said, Brother Flowers, if you ever need to talk to me about something, if you ever need to correct me, I want you to do it. I want you to feel like you can call me and you can tell me anything you want to tell me. And I wasn't just giving him lip service. I wasn't just saying that. You know, I've had a lot of people over the years call me pastor, but you find out real quick who you pastor and who you don't when there's a little bump in the road, or you have to reach out, you know, and pull them back in. You figure out how they react, whether you're their pastor or whether you're their preacher. And there was a lady in Richmond that she always called me her preacher. And I never liked that term because I realized that I really was just her preacher. That's all I was. Because she didn't do what I said, what I preached. She didn't, you know, she didn't line up to anything. She just showed up. And every time she would see me in the city, she would tell somebody, this is my preacher. And I knew I wasn't her pastor. Now, there's other people that have called me pastor that I knew I wasn't their pastor either. But that's another story for another day. Praise God. All right. There are four divisions of delegated authority in the New Testament. And that is civil, social, family, and church. We've talked about God's authority. We know that God is a God of authority, but he is also a God of delegated authority. What's beautiful is when the centurion came to Jesus and told him about his servant, and Jesus said, all right, I'm going to come, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to heal your servant. He said, oh, no. You don't have to come. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I am a man under authority, and I understand how it works. I give an order. He said, I give an order to one, and they go. I give an order to another, and they come. He said, I understand how authority works. And so Jesus looked at him, and he saw his faith, and he looked around, and he said, I haven't seen this kind of understanding, this kind of faith in all of Israel. Because this centurion knew that Jesus didn't have to go to his house to heal his servant. He could just say the word. He could just give the order. And so we know that God is a God of authority, but he is also a God of delegated authority. He gives his authority to people. And in society, there is authority. There's civil authority. We've already talked about that. There's government officials. And Lord knows, we do not agree with a lot of our government officials. Amen. I'm amazed at the people that get elected. It's just really shocking to me how ignorant they are. I guess that's a good way to put it. I was here listening one time, this little clip, and they were some Senate hearing or something. And they were talking to a general. The general was sitting down there at the little table and had a microphone in front of him. And then the committee, whatever committee it was sitting up on their little seats. And they were talking about putting an air base on an island. And this senator, this elected official, was in his questioning, he was worried that the weight of the base was going to turn over the island. And so, in an attempt to sound intelligent, he began to quote, the length of the island, the narrowness of the island, it was only 1 mile wide, it was this far, whatever it was, I forget. And then what I loved was the look on the face of the general as he tried to stifle a giggle. And he answered as respectfully as he could. He said, "Well, sir, it's an island. It's not floating. It's an island. It's connected. It's, you know, you can't turn over an island, right?" And anyway, it was very funny. So I am very shocked at the kind of people that get elected. And there are people that I have adamantly disagreed with, and I voted against them. Sometimes I vote for people, sometimes I vote against people. And so I do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is our prerogative as citizens, and that is our duty as citizens to vote. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing disrespectful about a dissenting vote for someone else that you choose to change or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. However, when that person is in office, they are due a certain amount of respect. There is a civil authority. Remember, we talked about this. All authority comes from God. He puts up who he wants up. He brings down who he wants down. Amen. Every president that has ever been in office was there under the will of God. Now, I know some of them did some really dumb stuff. Some of them did some terrible stuff that are completely against the word of God. But you know what? God's purpose is greater than our political ideology. God's purpose is greater than our comfort. It's greater than whatever we choose to believe. There's nothing wrong with having a certain set of ideas that we want to vote about, that we want to believe, that we want to espouse. But once God puts somebody in authority, there is a respect that must come with that office. Amen. If someone walked in here that I adamantly disagreed with, you know, somebody that espoused abortion and gay marriage and all these things, you know, I wouldn't shout at them and throw stuff at them and spit on them. No, I would be respectful of them, and I would stand when they walked in the room, and I would show a certain amount of respect for their office because it is delegated by God. Amen. And that's the same way we do with other civil authorities in our city. You know, we have the mayor, we have the city council, we have police officers, we have all constables and all this sort of thing. They are worthy, and they need our respect. Amen. We need to respect authority in our civil discourse. There's also social authority. What does that mean? That means that we should respect our elders. Amen. You know, I'm 47 years old, and I have been taught my whole life I have been taught to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I have been so ingrained in this thought process that I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, just about everybody. Yes, sir, no, sir, just about everybody. It doesn't matter what their age, you know. You go into a restaurant these days, and there's 12-year-olds waiting on you, or at least they feel that way. The older I get, the younger they look. And, you know, my mom several years ago had an EMT come to the house, and I was like, how in the world is he even old enough to drive an ambulance? What in the world? I mean, he's got to be like 11 years old. And anyway, but it doesn't matter what their age is. I just have been ingrained in this. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. In fact, one of my cousins, a little older than me, she was saying something to me one day, and I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Kevin Shindall, don't you say yes, ma'am, to me. I said, well, I don't even know how to not to say it. It's just, it's ingrained. My parents wouldn't even answer me. They acted like I didn't exist. They did. My dad would be in the living room. I'd be in my bedroom. Kevin! What? Kevin! What? Kevin! Sir? Come here. First of all, my kids do this too. I don't understand why when they hear me call them, they don't just get up and come. Why are they waiting for me to say, hey, come here? Anna, Elizabeth, Shindall? I mean, if I'm calling you, I'm calling you for a purpose. Anyway, but he wouldn't answer me unless I said, sir. And every time I talked to him, if he asked me a question, I would say, yes, sir. No, sir. There was an authority there, and there still is. Even when I'm 47 and he's 75, almost 75. And so there is a social authority. And in the church, and in our, not just in a church, but in society, we need to have respect for elders. We need to respect them. We need to show them the courtesy of their age. We need to help them. We need to open the doors. We need to go out of our way. I love when I see people grab Sister George's keys. They won't let her go get her car. I've been trying to get her just to pull up underneath this, but she's being a little rebellious since I'm talking about authority. I've been trying to get her to let us valet her, you know, just pull up, come on in, we'll park your car, you don't have to worry about it. But she's still a little rebellious in that area. But anyway, pretty bad to call you out in front of everybody, isn't it? But hey, it's icy outside, and Sister George is here. She lives by herself, drives herself. Isn't that something? But anyway, you know, I try to listen for her. My door is right there where she parks, and so I can hear the door open, and I can hear her walker as she opens it up and sets it down, and I try to get out there, but I love it when I open the door and there's already somebody helping her in, and other elders. We want to help you. We love you. We're so thankful. Tonight, we're going to, weather permitting, we're going to have service tonight, and our Blessed Life group is going to be singing. And I have so much respect for these people that have lived for God for so long and are so faithful. And I'm just thankful for that. They're people you can count on. Amen. When some people when they show up, you're surprised. There's other people that when they don't show up, you're surprised. In fact, there's people that I'll send my wife to check on. If I don't see them, you know, go check on them. Make sure everything's all right, because it's unusual for them not to be here. And so we need to have respect for authority in our world, not only in the church, but in our culture. Because remember, we are letting our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and they will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So we need to teach our children to respect authority in our society, in our civil situations. We need to teach them to respect people in social situations. Amen. I knew in my life, and my children know in their life, that if they want to be in trouble, all they have to do is disrespect an adult. Wow. They knew it was coming. If they ever disrespected an adult, they were going to be in for it, because there is a respect for authority that is biblical, because God is the source of all authority. And then in family, of course, there is a process of authority. God has given authority in the home. The father, the mother, the children, they all fall in a line of authority. Now remember, it's all balanced by the Word of God. I talk about this all the time, but it's worthy of saying again, because the husband, yes, should have authority in the home. Amen. All the husbands are afraid to say it, and the ladies don't want to. Amen. The husband should have authority in the home. Wow, y'all are just cowards. What in the world? Y'all are not wanting to say it. The husband should have authority in the home. Amen. Let's all clap our hands under that. Praise God. I didn't teach it. The Bible taught it. It's the Bible. However, it's perfectly balanced because the Bible says that wives should submit themselves unto their husbands, right? But it also says the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband should love his wife as he loves his own self. And so we are not lords, we are not kings, we are not commanding anything. We are the headship of the house, which really comes with much more responsibility than it does power. Amen. Now we want to take that and run with it and say, I'm going to sit on my little throne, you're going to do what I say. That's not the way it is. He that will be first will be last. He that will be the chief will be the minister. He that's going to lead is going to be the servant. There is a process of protection, of protecting the home, not just protecting the home, but providing for the home. Amen. Praise God. Our society has gotten to the place where to live, the husband and wife, you know, almost all have to work, right? It's just our economy, the way we live. It's just the way it is. But I'll tell you, men, that if your wife cannot or does not bring in finances, it's not her responsibility, it's yours. Hey, come on. It's all right if she helps, but it's your responsibility. Amen. And if you don't provide for your home, then you're worse than an infidel. Amen. We want to talk about the power, but the responsibility is much heavier than the power feels good. Amen. And so we come with a responsibility. We're to take care of our home. And there is a family dynamic. Children are to honor their mother and father. You must have respect for those that have rule over you, young people. Whether you like it or not, your parents are in charge. Amen. Man, this is such popular teaching. Praise God. Everybody's loving it. That's why we have our young people in here. Praise God. Your parents are in charge. You have to respect their authority. And if you want to do your own thing, be your own person, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Growing up is not all it's cracked up to be. Because your parents' rules are so light and so easy compared to the landlord, compared to the boss, compared to the electric company and the gas company and the water company and the car and the bank that's given you your car loan. And wow, there's much more authority in the responsibility to them than there is in your parents. You better love your parents. Amen. Be thankful for your parents. Praise God. I've said it many times. I wish I could go back and appreciate what I had and what I didn't have to pay for. Amen. That'd be wonderful. That would be wonderful. And I have some other news for you, young people. We've got some people that are approaching 18. Guess what? You're not an adult when you turn 18. Oh, come on, parents. You are not an adult when you turn 18. You're not an adult when you turn 21. You're not an adult when you turn 25. You're an adult when you pay for yourself. Woo, let's all parents, let's clap for that one. Woo, hallelujah, come on. Amen. Amen. You know, we always have these conversations with your children. My son, just one time, he's really never given me any trouble. But one time, he just kind of hinted that he was going to do something. And I was like, you know, I really would rather you not do that. He said, well, Dad, I'm 20. Well, I forget how old he was. He's 21 now. I said, oh, whoa, whoa. I said, whose phone are you holding? Oh, well, it's mine, but you pay for it. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I said, so as long as I'm helping you with college, as long as I'm helping you with your car, as long as I'm paying for your phone bill, guess who gets to be in charge? Right. Amen, Brother Moore. Woo! He's about to run the aisles over here. Praise God. So there's civil, there's social, there's family authority that we submit to. Amen. And it's good because it is not a heaviness, it's not a drudge, but it's a protection. Amen. When an officer rolls up to my window, I don't like that. You know, your heart sinks down in your stomach, and your stomach goes up in your throat, and you know, you start sweating. You start praying, Lord, let him give me a warning, right? Whatever it takes, you know. You say yes, sir, no, sir, even though you don't want a ticket. You know, even though everybody's innocent, right? Nobody ever does anything wrong. But you respect that authority because that authority also comes with a blessing. Because that gun and that badge and that life-threatening situation that he puts himself in or her every day is what's protecting you in your home. The reason people aren't in your house right now, hopefully, taking stuff, is not because they're afraid of you, but they're afraid of that badge, that gun. There's an authority that comes with that, and there should be a respect that comes with that. Amen. And so there's social authority that we're supposed to respect people in authority in our lives. And even in a work situation, we need to respect those that are over us. You know, sometimes there's people that are over you that are younger, but you still respect their position. Amen. And then in family situations, we respect our fathers, our mothers, our children. If you live in a home of a single mother, that mother has authority. That's right. Amen. You're to respect them. In fact, I think they're worthy of double respect because they're doing twice as much work and they're dealing with all the situations by themselves. And what a blessing it is to have single mothers and sometimes single fathers that are leading their homes to church. That's such an amazing thing to me to watch. And we've had such great examples. Amen. We have such great examples here in the church of people that lead their homes, and they're leading them all by themselves, and that's difficult. That's difficult. It's difficult when you're a team, when you're husband and wife. I can only imagine how much more difficult it would be by myself or my wife by herself. It would be very, very difficult. And I'm thankful for the church because there's authority in the church. Amen. There's authority in the church. There is a responsibility to the church. There is an obligation to be at the church and be a part of the things that God is doing at the church. The church is not just some frivolous organization where we get together and we socialize. This is a local part of it. It's international, but this is what Jesus died for, right? I just quoted a little while ago when I was talking about husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's impossible to separate our love for Jesus and our love for the church. It is impossible to separate our faithfulness to God and our faithfulness to church. Amen. It's not popular in our society, but we should feel an obligation, a responsibility, and even beyond that, we should love the church, so we should feel a desire, a draw to be at the church. And when we miss, it should be an anomaly. It should be something that comes up that we cannot control. We should schedule our life and schedule our world around being involved in the church. Amen. Amen. You know, the church is important, and there is an authority that comes there, and there are things that we need to strive to be a part of. Well, you are a part of way of life. This is a family. This is a church. God has ordained us to be here. It is something that has been established over 40 years. What a blessing to be a part of this local congregation that has such a heritage. It is a heritage of faithfulness. It is a heritage of love. It is a faithful of giving. It is a heritage of giving. It is a heritage of preaching the truth. And so we should be thankful for that, and we should support it. Amen. We should support it with our church attendance. I was brought up, I keep referring to my home, because that's the only one I know. I was brought up that if the doors were open, we were there. If the ladies were having something, my mom was there. If the men were having something, my dad was there, and he took me along. If the men was having a work day, we were there. We scheduled our world around the church. We did not allow sports. We did not allow extracurricular activities to interrupt our faithfulness to church. Now, we had extracurricular activities. We enjoyed some sports, things that are outside the church. We enjoyed those things. There's nothing wrong with those things in their proper perspective. But we never allowed them to override our faithfulness to church, because church was the most important thing that we did. The church, again, is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom. If you want to touch the kingdom of God, touch the church. If you want to touch the kingdom of God, love the church. If you want to touch the kingdom of God, minister to somebody in the church. I'm telling you, this is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom. The church is the kingdom of God, and the church is the only thing that is going to last in this world. Invest your time, your money, your effort in the church. Not only do you need it, and I'm coming to a close, I'm right at the end of my time. Not only do you need the church, but the church needs you. Amen. When people put activities together around here, they work hard, they decorate, they organize, they promote. We talk about it for a month or two, and people want you there. It's a blessing for you to show up. Amen. Praise God. What if you worked all day long and laid out a big meal, and you invited 10 people? And you told them way in advance, we're going to have this special dinner. It's on this night. You want to come. And you worked all day long, and you had everything just perfect. And then only half of them show up. Amen. The church is important. The church is important. We need it. And the church needs you. We need the church, and the church needs you. We need to be involved. We need to be submitted to the authority in the church. Amen. You can't separate your love for Jesus and your love for the church, because he's the head and the church is the body. Amen. You can't pick and choose which part you want to take. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful principle that if we walk in submission to God's authority, there is a blessing and a protection and a multiplication of our efforts that cannot come any other way. If you're frustrated today, I'll tell you how to get unfrustrated. Give yourself totally and completely to the kingdom. Amen. Build your world around the kingdom. Build your calendar around the kingdom. Build your future, your priorities around the kingdom, and blessings will come. Amen. Let's stand. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray that our hearts would receive the word of God, even the parts that rub our flesh the wrong way. Lord, I ask you to help us to submit to it, that we would gain understanding by walking in obedience to the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's take a little break. We'll start worship here at 11 a.m. Thank you.